1 Samuel chapter 18, and I'm not going to preach the same message on Wednesday, even though we were here. I was joking with my wife earlier. I said, I wonder if I could just get by with preaching the same message, because you had some folks that might not have been here, some folks that probably didn't listen, and some folks that couldn't remember. But then you'd have some folks that could. So, but this is, we looked at the first four verses Wednesday, and we're going to look at the rest of the chapter tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 18, starting in verse 5. The Bible says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of the cities of Israel, and singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward." Just means that to look at or to study. Right? He was suspicious of him. Verse 10, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he had behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter Merib, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I, and what is my life, or what, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Methuselite to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give her him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth it a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." I want to take this story and talk to you on this subject, responding correctly when others try to hurt you. Responding correctly when others try to hurt you. Let's go ahead and ask the blessing on the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Just help us as we now look into your word. Just guide my lips. Help me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the message tonight would be easy to understand and comprehend and easy to apply to all of us here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. when you talk about people trying to hurt you, I want to clarify a few things before we get into the story. I'm not talking about when we get corrected, because that is there's a time and a place to be corrected, all right? Whether it's by your parents, for the kids and teenagers here, whether it's by your boss, or whether it's all authorities that God has placed in your life, at some time or another, we all need correction. We all stray a little bit, and we need to get back on focus. So I'm not talking about tonight when people try and harm you, in the idea when people try and correct you, because there is a time and a place for that. But what I'm talking about tonight is when people try to hurt you, and in David's case, it was physically with King Saul. He tried to kill him many, many different times in many, many different ways, and we'll look at that tonight. There's other ways people try and harm you, and the Bible is chock full of different examples. People gossip about you, talk bad about you, mock you, all these different things, all right? But in David's case, I'm going to use some of the same introduction that I used Wednesday night to get us into this message. You've got to think, in chapter 17, David is first introduced to army life when his dad sends David to check up on his brothers and to see how the battle is going. And so David comes and he checks up on his brothers, and while he's there, there's a giant Goliath that is mocking God, that is daring the Israelites to send anybody that can compete with his strength, with the gods of the Philistines, to compete with Goliath's armory, anything, anybody, just send me somebody to do battle. David sees this, and he immediately is disturbed, because there's not anybody. All right, there is not anybody that thinks that they are brave enough, or thinks that their God is big enough to take Goliath. And he says that, I can do this. My God is with me. I will go and I will fight this giant Goliath. News gets back to King Saul, and he meets with David. And we went over this Wednesday night that Saul has David try on his armor, and that wasn't the right stuff. David hadn't proved those things. And so David takes what he had, takes what he was used to, and what God had given him, his sling, his staff, and he goes down and meets Goliath. And you know the story. He takes Goliath down with the help of God. Comes back, meets with King Saul, and he is knit with the heart of Jonathan. We talked about that. And now, in verse 5, David is not allowed to go home. Okay? And we come and we see this in verse 5, that David does whatever the king, and goes wherever the king has him to go. Number one, when people do you wrong, you need to obey the king. You look at this and see what David did in verse 5. It says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. Now, when you think of David, he was obedient to the king. My imagination starts to whirl when, because I'm a human and David was a human. Okay, and I think sometimes we set people up on pedestals and think, man, he could not have any emotions, any thoughts. He just was a robot and just did things right. But David was a person. David had feelings. He had emotions. And so what I would assume David could have been thinking is he could have very well had some grievances toward King Saul. I mean, he could have been displeased with a lot of things that King Saul had done even up to this point. You think about it. King Saul is king over Israel and over Judah, okay? And nobody will go fight Goliath. Are you kidding? If I'm King Saul, I'd be saying, okay, you're next. Go down. I'd be getting my big, strong guys and say, all right, you try. All right, you go down there, and if you die, okay, who cares? You're just a guy, and I'll get the next guy. I mean, I would at least send Abner. I said, Abner, all right, go take a whirl at this thing. All right, but nobody did it. And David, he's looking at this situation, and he's thinking, he's got to be thinking in his heart, or at least if he's not, I would be thinking in my heart, why isn't King Saul doing anything? And at the very least, King Saul is king, okay? Why do you got to play by the rules? Send your army down there and take them, okay? I mean, fight the enemy of God, okay? But he doesn't do this. And David, he comes and he comes back from killing Goliath, and King Saul. Then the next grievance I would have, he comes back and he gives Saul Goliath's head, and he comes back and Saul says, "Okay, you can't go home." Are you kidding? You know, David's a runt. David's a shepherd boy, okay? And he's not used to army life, all right? And he's not used to the crude, the way that the army, the men live. He's not used to that. He's used to taking care of dumb sheep. And King Saul says, "You can't go home." I'd have some grievances, wouldn't you? I mean, that's just me. We don't find that here. Now, maybe David was thinking those things. I sure would be. But he obeyed the king. I wonder in our life. It's easy to see a story like this and think, wow, you know, David, he was a teenager. He was maybe even an older teenager, and God used him. And then he's with King Saul, and King Saul's, you know, we know his character. He's not really close to God. He even gets farther away. And then David, he's just serving the king. How do we serve the king? Now, comparison-wise, God and King Saul, there's no comparison, all right? But we serve a God that is merciful, that is just, that is holy, and we can trust him. And when God says something, our response should be in obedience. When others hurt us, how do we respond? You know, the first thing, you know, when people hurt us, the first reaction is to hurt them back, right? If somebody says something bad about us, our first reaction is to lash back and say something bad about them because they just cut us down, all right? When somebody tries to take our job, you know what the common tendency is? You know, because grass is always greener on the other side, and so for whatever reason, you got two people doing the same job, and this person thinks that maybe you get 25 cents more an hour. Okay, and they have to knock you in front of the boss. Our reaction is to knock them in front of the boss, right? But that's not what our reaction should be. Think of this thought: when responding back to people, you will not go wrong when your first response is obedient to the King of Kings, is obeying God. Because when you obey God, your responses to other people will be right. When you obey God, your responses to other people that have hurt you will be right. Now, it's not easy. It's not even fun. Okay? But we see the example here when David, faced with serving a king that is not in the least, not even halfway godly, okay, kind of a coward, his response was obedience. The next thing, there's some verses that I wrote down. Think of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. The Bible says, "But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." If you obey God, do you want things to be well with you? Obey God. Jeremiah 11, 4, "Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice, and do them according to all that which I command you, so ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." Jeremiah 11, 7, "For I earnestly protest unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice." Jeremiah 12, 17, "But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck them up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord." Jeremiah 8, 10, "If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." Jeremiah 26, 13, "Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him and of the evil that he had pronounced unto you." You know what you have to do when you come up with in a response to folks is you need to obey God. Okay? There is nothing wrong when somebody comes and hurts you, all right? In a way that is attack against your character. I'm not talking about if somebody comes up and physically assaults you, okay? That's something entirely different. But when somebody comes and tries to cut you down and tries to mock you and tries and maybe gossips, even lies about you. Okay? That's pretty rough to take. Because you know the truth and they're lying to other people about you. What do you do? All right, you need to go back to the Bible and you need to obey God in each situation. I can't cover every circumstance that everybody has. Okay, but you, if you go back and you follow the Bible and you obey God, you will find directions in what you should do in response to that problem and to that individual. Number two, look what else David did. And see, it just in this story, it keeps getting, the scale keeps growing, okay, what King Saul was trying to do. Remember in verse 9, Saul eyed David. And why did he do that? Is because David one day came back from going in and out from fighting Saul's battles, okay? And the women of the city is attributing praise to David, and that praise was more than what they were attributing to Saul. They were saying to David that he has killed his 10,000s and to Saul his thousands, okay? Which might not have been true, okay? They were emotional. David was accepted in the sight of the people, and David was accepted in the sight of Saul's servants. And so they started singing his praise, and Saul hears these things, and he eyed David from that day forward, and he was not happy. You look at what Saul started to do. Saul had an evil spirit come upon him, I think in verse 10. And he asked David to play the harp, and he does this. He goes into the palace and he plays the harp for King Saul. And while there, Saul tries to kill him with a spear. And this verse says, I imagine it's a couple different times, a couple different circumstances, but it happened twice. Saul tries to pin David to the wall with a spear while David is doing nothing but doing what King Saul wanted to do. He was obeying King Saul. He wanted music. David was playing music. But Saul saw that. And Saul was envious of the praise that the people were giving him. Saul couldn't handle it. In Proverbs 27:4, the Bible says, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? You know, envy is a very, very powerful, powerful thing. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Saul couldn't handle it. That some ladies were praising David more than him. In this story, in chapter 18, four different verses, the Bible says that David behaved himself wisely. In verse 5, it says that David behaved himself wisely. In verse 14, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. In verse 15, that he behaved himself very wisely. And in verse 30, behaved himself more wisely. Okay, you see that David is just growing in God through this hurt that King Saul is trying to display on him. Saul tries to pin him to the wall, and David flees. But David was obedient. Number two, look what David was else. David was humbled to the king. In verse 18, it says, "And David said unto Saul, Who am I?" Now, to set this up, what happened is, it didn't work that King Saul tried to kill David with a spear. And so what King Saul does is he starts coming up with a plan, something else to get rid of David. And he comes up with a very, very clever plan. He comes up with the idea that I'm going to let my enemies destroy David. And so he sets David in charge of armies to go out and fight. If you're in charge, where is the leader? Okay, he's in the front. He's leading the group. Okay, if the leader's not going to lead, then the followers, they're sure not going to lead. All right, so David's out of there, but he survives. He keeps coming back. Okay, he keeps serving the king faithfully. And Saul keeps sending him out to kill some Philistines, and it doesn't work. They kill the Philistines, but David, he keeps coming back. So King Saul comes up with another plan. He said that, you know what, I've got this daughter, and I'm gonna have David marry this girl, okay? And she's gonna set him up. Well, the problem with that is that when it came time to get married, she was married to another person, to another guy. But in the next verse, Saul had another daughter named Michal. And I love this, the way the Bible says. The Bible made sure that we knew that Michal loved David. You see, in this whole circumstance, God was still protecting, God was still taking care of David. And God didn't allow somebody to marry David that didn't even love David, okay? Now, just a side note, who would want to be the king's son-in-law when this guy tried to kill you? You know what I'm saying? Of course David didn't want to be the king's son-in-law. Are you nuts? But anyway, can you imagine the family reunion? All right, what'd you do to me last time? Yeah, you tried to kill me with a spear. But anyway, it would just be kind of weird eating together. But David said, "Who am I?" He humbled himself before King Saul. He said, "Look, I am the son of nobody." David even said, "Who am I and who is my father's family?" They weren't royal. They were people that took care of sheep. Okay. Jesse didn't mean anything to King Saul. We looked at that Wednesday night too. Okay. Saul didn't even know who the boy's daddy was while he was out fighting Goliath. He had to ask his I think it was Abner, who this guy was. Abner didn't know. Abner had to investigate and figure it out. And they just asked David, who are you? He said, I'm the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. They didn't even know. Okay, David said, "Who am I? I'm nobody." David humbled himself before the king. You know, sometimes I think that we can't believe it when people do us wrong. Not that we set up ourselves on a pedestal, but when it happens, we're like, "Man, I can't believe they just hurt me like that." Okay, you know, don't they know who I am? I'm the guy that works in the cubicle next to them punching the same buttons. I mean, you know, I'm a somebody too. All right, but David humbles himself. He said, "Who am I?" We need to humble ourselves before God. Come to him and say, you know, when somebody hurts us, say, "God, am I at fault in any way in this circumstance?" Okay? We don't need to jump the gun and just get ferocious, and try, you know, want to bite off the person's head that just did us wrong. We need to take time and meditate. You know, there is this thing to criticism. And somebody wise told me this several times, and I heard it before. But, you know, when criticism comes, you just chew on it for a while. You don't just go and want to attack the person, even though sometimes you feel like that, okay? You don't just jump on them and criticize them back because they gave you some criticism. But you chew on that. After a while, if it's not true, you spit it out, okay? You don't eat the whole fish. Unless it's Captain D's and doesn't have any bones, okay? You spit out the bones, all right? And but anyway, David humbled himself before God. In James 4:6, the Bible says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God resists the proud, gives grace. God can't get your attention when you're strode up like a peacock walking around. Okay? He resists that kind of person. But you know who God does give grace to? He gives grace to the person that it comes before him humbly and says, "God, I've got this issue. I got this problem. I want to know as if am I at fault too? Do I have something that I need to go to this person and say, you know, I'm sorry if I ever mistreated you. I'm sorry if I said that comment. I'm you know, try and get things reconciled." Okay? The Bible says in a verse that you're supposed to live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. You know what the opposite of peace is? War. And you can't have war in a church. God can't do his business when there's war going on. But he can when there's peace. James 4:10, the Bible says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." 1 Peter 5:6, the Bible says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Now, the problem is we don't like the due time part. We want it now, okay? That due time part just means have patience. God's working on them, and he's working on you. And our responsibility is to come in an attitude of humbleness. Not jumping down the person's throat saying, "I can't believe you did that to me. I can't believe you said that thing to me. I can't believe you acted like that. Aren't you a Christian? You call yourself a Christian." That's a sure way to lose a friend. That's not living peaceably with all men. Okay? But humbleness to God. will give you the response that you need in responding back to that person. Proverbs 16:19, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. God can't use a proud person, but he can use a humble person. Number two, David was humble to the king. David had every reason to not be humble at this point. This guy just tried to kill him multiple times. Then he wants him to get married to a daughter of his that didn't even love David. David probably didn't love her. David said, you know, I'm nobody. When situations come in our lives, go back to the king. Go back to God. Humble yourself. Make sure you're right. And then proceed. So number one, David was obedient. Number two, David was humble to the king. Number three, in verse 26 and verse 27, the Bible says, and when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore, David arose, went he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men, and David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. Number three, David pleases the king. Okay, David. After David comes, and Saul has this deal worked out. David, in this story, I read it earlier. David says, I don't have a dowry to give you. I'm a poor person. I don't have anything to give you for your daughter. Saul says, that's okay. Instead of money, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and get 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And he only did that because he was thinking, you go out and kill 100 guys, surely you're probably not going to make it, okay? And you got to kill that person, okay? And so David accepts this challenge. He says, yeah, I can do that. And he goes out and he kills 200. Now, this always amazes me, you know. Can you imagine, you know, David finds, he's with his guys, he finds a group of Philistines. It's not like David starts counting before he starts killing. All right, yeah, no, there's 97, can't kill them, got to find three more. All right, he sees this group and he just starts going. You can't stop at 100 and say, all right, guys, I've killed my 100. All right, you guys just stay back or I'll have to kill you. David kills these people, okay, brings them. Twice as much as what King Saul required. He kills 200 people, brings them to King Saul. Now, it's not that Saul was pleased that David made it. Saul wasn't, okay? Saul, the next verse says, he was even more disturbed. He was even more afraid of David, okay? David brings this spoil back to Saul, and Saul consents for Michal to be given in marriage. Saul, it wasn't that Saul was happy David didn't die, but Saul knew that the Lord was with David. And you see that in verse 28. The Bible says, and Saul knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's David daughter, loved him. Number three, David pleases the king. Do you know what pleases God? When people try and come and against us and hurt him, our obedience to him, our attitude in the form of humbling ourselves to him, pleases God. You know, if you're a parent here, and whether your kids have gone and left and started their own family, you know what the desire of your kid is, especially at a young age. The desire is to please their parents. You know what hurt me worse when I did something wrong, and when I was back at home and I did something wrong? It wasn't the spanking that I got, even though that hurt. It was whenever my dad said that I had disappointed him, that he was displeased with me. That hurt because I was no longer at that point. That I had done something against my parents, whether it's disobedience, I had displeased them. I was no longer in my dad's favor for that period of time because I had displeased him. You know what the goal of the Christian should be towards God? Is to please God in everything that we do. You know how you do that when people come against you? You go back to God in obedience to whatever your circumstance is, according to whatever happened in your life. You humble yourself. You make sure you're right. And then you go and try and attach yourself, try and reconcile with whoever the person was that did something against you. All right? That pleases God. Why? It goes back to the verse I just quoted earlier, because that God wants us to live peaceably, as much as that is within us, to live peaceably with all men. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. How do we respond to God? How you respond to God will determine your attitude when responding to others. How you respond to God will determine your attitude in responding to others. When you come to verse 30, this is kind of amazing. Verse 30, then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much said about. Do you know, this was right after the time when Saul's daughter, Michal, got married to David. Custom was, when you married, that you got about a year off of war. But it was your choice whether you took that year off. David didn't. And his name being much said about was in high esteem with the people, and his name was precious. Do you know a reason why David's name was precious with the people? Is because when King Saul came against him, he behaved himself wisely. You want to be a wise person? Then tonight, when people come against you, you will, number one, you will obey the king. You will go back. You will obey what God has set in his word for that circumstance. You will humble yourself. And your desire, my desire, should be ultimately to please him. And we can do that when we do these things that David, as an example, against somebody that tried to kill him multiple times. If David could do that, why can't we do it when somebody says something off color to us? If David can act wisely, behave himself more wisely against somebody that has it in for him, why do we find it so hard to be forgiving, to be loving, to be tenderhearted to even Christians that either gossip, say something offhand? We find it so difficult. And just a side note, when the world treats us that way, we should expect that, okay? I mean, they don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them like you do and like I do if you're saved, okay? That's just their natural tendency. That's just the old man within them. But for the grace of God, that's you, that's me. But since we've got the grace of God displayed in our lives because of what he did on the cross for us, we don't have to act like the old man. We're a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Are you going to act like that? It's up to you. Let's go ahead and stand as the instruments are going to play.